Well, Merry Christmas, everyone.
It is a season. I love this season. You know me. If you've been here at all the last few weeks, you know how much I just love this Christmas season. And I love the things that we're talking about this Christmas season. You know, in the church year, I don't know if you're familiar with this, because I wasn't. I had to figure it out. This is a time that's called Advent. Yeah, I know. An English word we use all the time. I have no idea what that means. I had to look it up. It has to do with this anticipation for something that's going to happen. And that's the season we're in right now. This anticipation, God's this great anticipation for something that's going to happen. And that's the series we're in. And we're taking these different words according to these candles that we're lighting, and we're unpacking them. And as we're anticipating God to move and to work at this time, and we took a look at hope, and how we are anticipating God fulfilling a hope. And we took a look at peace and how God can bring this completeness to our lives through his son Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And today, we're going to take a look at this word, love. And not just like romantic love. I know that you probably all need a little help with that. And believe me, I could help you. All right, I can help you out. I'm the romance guru, right? But this not this romantic love or even just a feeling love, although we'll touch on some of this stuff, but it's about God's great act of love. His great act of love towards us is what we're going to be talking about, because I think we need to take some time to really think about what that means. What is this thing that God has done to show his love for you and for me, and really the whole world, right? Maybe for some of you gurus out there, you're like, oh yeah, I know a verse that talks about God's great love for the world, right? John 3:16, you know that one? God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have this eternal life. Oh, wow. But here's the thing. I think we have trouble with this. I mean, we like it, and maybe it feels good, it sounds good. We just have trouble believing it, actually. I think we do, right? If we just stop and break it down, I think you'll see what I mean, right? God loved the world so much, that he gave his one and only son. Like, we were like, oh, okay, I can get behind that. I can understand that. The world is worth so much to God that the sacrifice of this one is worth saving the rest, right? Okay, I can understand what that looks like, this great act of God's love. He shows it in that way. But did you pick up on how it goes from this big world-looking thing, right, this whole world that we're talking about, to the individual? Whoever believes. Just the whoever, that's one individual, one at a time. I mean, this, when you start thinking about this, you're like, this is a ridiculous act of love. It doesn't make any sense. I can understand someone, just in our own context, someone that says, you know what, giving my life to save or benefit many, that makes sense. It's still a great act, isn't it? It's a great act of sacrifice. We talk about it each year, and military officers and people that lay their life on the line for other people, right? And it's a great sacrifice. But when it starts coming down to the individual, right, that someone would give their life for just you or just me, that starts to make it a little bit more uncomfortable, right? And then if you put it into the context in which we're talking about, they're giving up their child's life. They're giving their child's life so that you can have life. I can't think of a scenario, as much as I love all of you, that I would give up my child's life so that you could live. I'm sorry, but you're not going to make it. Huh? Right? I mean, think about it. If you have a child or you have grandchildren, like, you are going to give their life so someone else not just can have life, but has the opportunity to choose to have life. That's what this is about, you guys, right? God loved the world so much that he gives his one and only son so that whoever believes, right, just gives the opportunity to believe, won't have to die. They will have this life. This is ridiculous. This is a ridiculous act of love, and we struggle with this. Not only with God and us, right? I mean, we talk about that, thinking about how God could love us so much that we would find some worth, right? That he finds so much worth in just you as an individual, that he give his son life, right? Some of you struggle with this. I know you do. I know you do. You're like, I don't even like me. How could God love me, right? You wrestle with that. I can't be worth this. If we really stop and break it down. And we don't just struggle with this with God and us. We struggle with this on the human level as well. I know this because I've experienced this with my wife, Amanda, actually. Actually, before she was my wife, Amanda, when we were dating, we got invited to chaperone some youth kids to this big music festival. It was a big Christian music festival called Sunshine, and it happened up in Wilmer, Minnesota, where you go and you'd camp out there for a weekend, and you would go and listen to not just like contemporary Christian music, but it was like rock, Christian rock music. Like Third Day was there, and Jars of Clay, and some of you are going like, I have no idea who they are, right? But for our day, it was like, oh, this is awesome. They're going to be there, the headliners. And then you saw all these other different random bands that were just trying to get started and all kinds of different music, and it was fun. But they would have these like food trucks and concession stands out there because you were there for the whole weekend, and you could go around and you could buy from them and all of that stuff. And so we're dating, right? And I was ready to show Amanda that I didn't just like her, but I love her, right? And I thought, how can I show Amanda that I love her? And lo and behold, there was a truck there that was from a florist shop. Most random thing ever. Like, why would you think that you would be selling flowers to all these people coming in to listen to Christian rock music? But there it was. And I wanted to go and buy her some flowers and give them to her to show her that I loved her. But, you know, I really wanted to go big. And so I walked up in my turn, and I walked up and I said, I want 4 dozen roses. That is their response. They're like, what? Yep, I want 4 dozen roses. And they were like, okay, will they have to be all the same color? I'm like, I don't care what color they are. I just want roses, right? And they're like, okay, we'll put them together. So they're putting them together. And they said, oh, how about if we just add 2 more so it's just a cool 50? I'm like, sweet deal, yeah. And so I take my 50 roses. Some are red and some are yellow and some are like this peach color and some are like different colors, like yellow, and then they go into like a red. They were really cool. And I bring them to Amanda, the girl I'm dating that I want to show this great act of love to. And her response was, she took them and she said, oh, Michael, I can see by this great act of love how much you love me. And now our relationship can grow. That's actually not what she said. I think you picked up on that, right? Here's her words verbatim. Michael, we need to talk. Anybody been in a dating relationship and the other person says we need to talk? That conversation is not going to go well, is it? Yeah? And we did need to talk. But it wasn't about breaking up. It was about that she didn't think that she was worth this expression of love. Like, she thought I was too fascinated with her, that I found too much in her, more than I should. That was the conversation. I think you think I'm greater than I am. That's her words. And I said, I think you're greater than you think you are. That's my expression of love. And she had trouble wrapping her mind around it, didn't she? And I think we do this, don't we? We get expressions of love towards us, and we just don't think we're worthy of it. Somebody's just generous to us, and they help us out in some way, or they want to help us, and we're just, no, don't help. It's okay, I got it, right? We feel obligated to return that, and yet Can we ever repay this huge, great act of love that God gives to us? Now, even if you're not one of those people that's like, look, I don't even like me. How could God love me? If you're not one of those, you still wrestle with this whole expression of God's love, God's act, great act of love towards us, because you're like, well, sometimes I don't feel like God loves me very much. If I look at my circumstances and I look at the struggles that I'm going in or the way that people have treated me, I where is God's act of love? Like, that's all nice in John chapter 3:16 about God's love for the world. And even if I can wrap my mind around a little bit in believing this, I still have a hard time experiencing that, don't we? Why doesn't God just fix these things in my life? If he loves me so much, wouldn't things go good for me? Wouldn't I be able to get the things that I think that I should have, or even the things that I need? Wouldn't my relationships go well? Right? Wouldn't I be able to go through life and not have to experience some of these hardships and losses? But that's not what God's great act of love is about. It's not about fixing everything. I mean, even when you step back and you think about Jesus' miracles about healing people, I don't know if this is news, but I stepped and I reflected on this, and I'm like, you know, Jesus healed these people. He even raised some people from the dead. They still died, right? They still had to experience that. It's not like all of a sudden their life was all good and they just went about their business. They still had to work and they still had relationship issues and things like that, right? It's not like everything was fixed, because it's not the point. God's great act of love of giving his son is more than just about Jesus sacrificing his life. It's about God being present with us through all circumstances of life. That's a great love. That's a great act of love. And that's exactly the way this tax collector, who is invited by Jesus to follow him, understood this, understood who Jesus is, understood this Son of God that God had given for him as an expression of love to him. He reflects back on some of the scripture that he knows from Isaiah. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, he just says, look, he's quoting this from Isaiah. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God's great expression, his great act of love, giving his son, is not just so that he'll die, but so that he'll be with us. God will be with us, experiencing and understanding what it's like to be a human being. Understanding that we're going to struggle with receiving and understanding this love that he's trying to show to us. He's giving us this huge gift of 50 roses, and we're like, I don't think I can handle that. He gives us his very presence in all of our circumstances. And you know what happens here? When you put these two things together about God's loving the whole world, giving his son, so we have his presence with us, he understands everything that we go through, and him being here with us through all of our circumstances, you know what happens when we actually believe that? When we believe that God loves us? When we start to be able to trust that God loves us? When you believe that God loves you, it changes you. It changes you. When you start to believe that God loves you, it changes you. All of a sudden, there's something different that starts happening in your life. You start seeing things differently. Because no matter what you're going through, you can say, well, I know that God loves me. When you have these hardships and these losses, you can go like, but I know God loves me, right? I believe it. I trust it. That's not just me saying this. This is somebody actually experienced this. Someone who is a great
in opposition, an opponent to Jesus and the whole Jesus movement, was going around getting authority from his religious group to go and stop this, go and arrest people like you and me that say we're going to follow Jesus, putting them in jail, disrupting their whole life, even standing over some of those that are being stoned to death and agreeing to it, like this is the right thing that needs to happen. And then he met Jesus. And when he met Jesus, all of a sudden things started to change for him. He started to understand God's great act of love in a completely different way, and it changed him. And we see that expressed out when he writes a letter about it to this group of people in Rome. In Romans chapter 8, 38 says, I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. He is now convinced, after meeting Jesus, having his whole view of what God's love and his great act of love is all about, it changes him to where now he is convinced that nothing can separate him from God's love. And he's saying this while he's under guard in a prison because he is now following Jesus and this group of people that are following Jesus. And he is seeing himself as the worst one because he's the one that's been arresting them and even approving of them being murdered. Does he feel like he is worth God giving his son for? He sees this completely different. He is now convinced that nothing can separate him from God's love. He goes on to write, and listen to the beauty of this and how he uses just opposites to show this. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in who? Oh, the Son that he gave, so that if you believe, if you would just believe that God loves you, it changes you. It's revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I wish I could convince you. I wish I had the right words, that I could put them in the right order, that could be powerful enough and creative enough to convince you how much God loves you. But when it comes down to the end of the day, you have to choose to believe it. You have to choose to believe that God loves you. And that's all I can offer. It's all that God is inviting you into. Whoever believes has this life. And I think saying it out loud or taking something with you to say out loud is helpful. And so I just have a little phrase that I offer to you. If you believe, or you want to remind yourself that you believe that God loves you because it's going to change you, this is what I offer you. Jesus, I believe you love me. Thank you. Thank you for loving me. Jesus, I believe you love me. Thank you for loving me.